right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Stronghold Baptist Church. You can grab your hymnals and open up to Psalm 174. Psalm 174, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Psalm 174.
Oh, yes, he cares, I know. All right, this time we're going to go through our announcements. If you do not have a bulletin, slip your hand up real high and one of our ushers will make sure that you get a bulletin. Looks like we got the, I'm going to set this up here for right now. And if you open up to the first page, you will see our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Of course, there's a misprint in the bulletin there. It says 4, it's supposed to be 5 p.m. I had to recreate from an old bulletin, and I overlooked that. So it is 5 p.m., of course. You're here right now, so you should be well aware of that. Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 13 this week. The soul winning opportunities are listed there, as well as the salvations and baptism for month of November, as well as for the year. Well, let's go ahead and count up any salvations to report. Brother Brian, do you mind taking over the sound? Brother Mike has had to drop someone off and come back, so if you could take that over, I'd appreciate that. Any salvations for today to report? If you got someone saved, just slip your hand up real high. I'll make sure you get that counted. Okay, 2, 1, 1, 2. One over here. Amen. Anyone I miss? Great. Good job. 7 salvations for the day. Sounds awesome. It's a good job. Going out there, braving this cold. It feels like winter today. I mean, we were literally just out yesterday. It was like summer. It was like beautiful, warm, sunny. God like stopped the rain and it was sunny. And then it was like raining on the way back home. But like it was perfect while we're out there. And then today it's like... A little chilly, but that's all right. We can handle that. So good job out tolling. Is there any other numbers to report, any salvations to report that I missed from earlier in the week? I got yours from yesterday that you put in the group. And then, cool. All right, well, very good. Keep up the good work. Preaching the gospel, offering tolls bottom page. It's not through January. We're not to January yet. This is through November. We didn't really have anything new to update on the prayer request other than we're adding Brother Lindsay to the prayer list. So if you weren't here this morning, and if you don't have one of our prayer lists from last week, let me know. I could get one to you. We'll have them again next week, or I probably should have them by Wednesday as well. But my computer that has everything on it is fried and is getting the parts it needs tomorrow. So I should be back up and running with everything like normal. After tomorrow is just really bad timing, and it is what it is. So, but the good news is the Smiths had a baby. Actually, Brother Stephen updated. I saw on WhatsApp earlier there's a name now. Gabriella Grace Smith, 7 pounds, 14 ounces, 20 and a half inches-ish. So, congratulations to the Smith family, and praise the Lord for answering prayers and bringing that baby safely into this world. So that was about all the updates. Brother Lindsay got in a car accident, broke his sternum. So please pray for a quick recovery for him and that everything could go well with getting his vehicle repaired and things like that. So please be in prayer for him. It's very painful. And then we also have these from the retirement home. I could read at least one of these names. So Emma Norman. She's praying for a better relationship with her and her daughter. And just overall asking for a better relationship with the job, with everything. And then there's a... unnamed prayer for protection over them and their family and their home. And then, a thanks for all of your blessings. So people there are very appreciative that we come in and that we minister to them. And if you're unaware of what we do, we go and preach a little service. It's like a little service. It's not a full church service. It's kind of a mini church service. We do sing a few songs and get some preaching to them, and then get a chance to spend ministering to the people there, talking to them, getting to know them, praying for them, and soul winning too. So anyone who's not saved, trying to show them how to be saved from the Bible. So it's a really good ministry there. And unlike some other nursing homes where people can have various states of their mental capacity, this place is just a retirement facility. So everyone there is pretty well capable in their minds for sure to be able to understand. So it's a very good opportunity to reach people and try to help them where they are. So it's a great ministry there. Did you preach today there? Okay, and then the next time is going to be. The
before Sunday of the month.
So we do have a preacher going out there, or no? Okay, because I saw you said that the administrator was going to be
the second Sunday of
December.
Yes.
Okay. So we have one more this month.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Cool. Very good. And then Columbia, South Carolina, soul winning, as I was mentioning earlier, great, beautiful weather, great results. A lot of people talked to us. A lot of people were receptive, besides the 39 people that put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. We did talk to a bunch of other people as well. There was lots of people talking, at least where I was, that was the case. There was a lot of conversations in general. So praise the Lord for that. And 43 people showed up. Great, great success. November challenge, Bible memory. So the challenge for November is memorize any 25 verses of the Bible you've never memorized before. And when I'm talking about never memorized before, just for clarity, I mean you actually put forth an effort to say, hey, I'm going to memorize this passage. Obviously, there's different verses that you might kind of know already from like hearing them preached a lot or going over stuff a lot. But if you have never actively just tried to memorize it, that's what I'm talking about. Don't worry about getting too caught up in the rules. You know, we're very forgiving to a point, but obviously you have to have things memorized. You have to be able to quote 25 verses. It has to be word perfect. You got to do that very well. So we don't allow for, well, you missed a word. No, you got to get them all. Okay, so just make sure if you're checking out someone else's work, and I understand, man, they might have put a lot of time and effort into something, but you have to have it all memorized correctly. So don't be giving in and going, okay, well, that's good enough. Not good enough. Get it right. That's how we do the Bible memory here in order to get the prize. And we're halfway through the month of November. Hopefully you've got at least 10 verses down already. Otherwise, you got a lot of work to catch up to get those 25 verses for the month. Hebrews chapter 5, we've got 2 weeks left to finish memorizing Hebrews chapter 5. If you could quote that word perfect, you get a prize for that. We got the upcoming birthdays there for the rest of the month of November. And then the field trips, homeschool field trip, Stone Mountain, Monday, November 21st. Are you settled on that time for meetup? Yes? 11 a.m.? 11 a.m. is the meetup time. There are three vehicles that are large capacity passenger vans that have your name on a list. So Logan family, Taylor family, our family, we have large vans, so you don't need a parking pass for that. You just tell them, what do you tell them? Your Stronghold Baptist Church van, and they'll have a special place for you to park, and it's pretty cool. So it's one of those things. It's like we got buses, right? So you passenger vans is like we got a bus, so you get to park where all the buses park. And it saves the church money because we don't have to pay for a parking pass for that. So it works out perfect. And then everyone else, I think you said we didn't actually purchase the parking passes yet, but we'll have them.
Yeah, I don't know what you emailed, but I'll get.
Okay. You're waiting on more information to see how that's going to work out. Okay. But as always, everything that we do, all of our activities are free of charge to you. But we do, like this one, just ask that you can let us know you're coming. We bought the tickets for these already, so it should be a lot of fun. And then the Gingerbread House making activity is going to be in late morning, early afternoon on the 10th. It's a Saturday, and then Christmas caroling is going to be later on in the late afternoon, early evening. So that should be a lot of fun. Potluck on Christmas Day service in between the church services. Right after the potluck, we'll hold our evening service, and then the New Year's Eve fellowship on Saturday, December 31st, is going to be from 2 to 7 p.m. So come on out for that and join us. Play a lot of games, have a good time. And I'm okay if people want to stick around later on that Saturday, as long as someone's willing to lock up and make sure that the place is clean enough for church service on Sunday morning. You can stay as late as you want and hang out. But I'm not going to be here that late on Saturday. That's why I put the time in the way that I did. So you want to stay up and do whatever, you know, hang out, fine with me. I think that's about it for the announcements. Nothing new to report on the place next door. I need to send an email out and see where they're at. The last I heard, they're getting permits from the city. So once they get the permits, it's about a week before they're going to get their crew is going to be able to do the work. It's just a matter of coordinating with the framing, with the demo people and the framing and the work that they're going to do so that we have as little impact to our services as possible so that when they come in and do the work, they can get it done, get it cleaned up, and try to have everything presentable when we hold service again on that next Sunday. So I know they're going to spend some time coordinating with their different crews to make sure all the work can be done, because they're going to we need some electrical rerouting, some other things going on. So any case, as soon as I know more about that, I'll let you all know. And that is it for announcements. So turn the service back over, Brother Peter, lead us in our next song.
All right, church, if you could open up your hymnals, song number 406. Psalm 406, who is on the Lord's side? Psalm 406.
Who will be the world's side? Who
church, while the offering plate is being passed around, if you could please open up your Bibles, the book of Numbers, chapter 2. That was the book of Numbers, chapter 2, and as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter. That's Brother Devin, if he can please do that for us.
That is Numbers chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon the son of Amminadab shall be captain of the children of Judah, and his host, and those that were numbered of them, were 84,600. And those that do pitch next unto him shall be the tribe of Issachar. And Nathanael, the son of Zuar, shall be captain of the children of Issachar. And his host and those that were numbered thereof were 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun and Eliab, the son of Helon, shall be captain of the children of Zebulun. And his host and those that were numbered thereof were 57,400. All that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000 and 400,000 and 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben according to their armies. And the captain of the children of Reuben shall be Eliezer, the son of Shedeur. And his host and those that were numbered thereof were 46,500. Those which pitched by him shall be the tribe of Simeon. And the captain of the children of Simeon shall be Shilomael, the son of Zerushaddai. And his host, and those that were numbered of them, were 59,300. Then the tribe of Gad, and the captain of the sons of Gad, shall be Eliasaph, the son of Reuel, and his host, and those that were numbered of them, were 45,650. All that were numbered in the camp of Reuben were 100,050 and 1,450 throughout their armies, and they shall set forth in the second rank. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp, as they encamp, so shall they set forward, every man in his place by their standards. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim according to their armies, and the captain of the sons of Ephraim shall be Elishama, the son of Ammihud, and his host. And those that were numbered of them were 40,500. And by him shall be the tribe of Manasseh. And the captain of the children of Manasseh shall be Gamaliel, the son of Pedahazer, and his host. And those that were numbered of them were 32,200. Then the tribe of Benjamin, and the captain of the sons of Benjamin shall be Abidan, the son of Gideoni, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 35,400. All that were numbered of the camp of Ephraim were 100,000 and 8,100 throughout their armies, and they shall go forward in the third rank. The standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side by their armies. And the captain of the children of Dan shall be Ahiezer, the son of Ammishaddai, and his host. And those that were numbered of them were 62,700. And those that encamp by him shall be the tribe of Asher. And the captain of the children of Asher shall be Pagiel, the son of Ochran, and his host. And those that were numbered of them were 41,500. Then the tribe of Naphtali, and the captain of the children of Naphtali, shall be Ahira, the son of Enan, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 53,400. All they that were numbered in the camp of Dan were 100,000 and 50 and 7,600. they shall go hindmost with their standards. These are those which were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers. All those that were numbered of the camps throughout their hosts were 603,550. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they pitched by their standards. And so they set forward, everyone after their families, according to the house of their fathers. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this church and for an opportunity to hear good preaching tonight. And I pray that you would bless the sermon now and fill Pastor Burzins with your spirit. Help us all to have open ears to hear the message and apply it to our lives and to minimize distractions for us as we try to learn. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Sorry to do that to you, Brother Devin. People get caught reading, and you hear the Book of Numbers, it's like, oh man, what do I got to read? You get to read a bunch of names and try to pronounce all the names. You did a good job, but it wasn't First Chronicles, that's right. You still get a lot of different names and counting going on there. So, see, why in the world did we read this passage tonight, Pastor Burzins? Well, because we're going to preach the whole counsel of God. So Numbers chapter 2 is in the Bible. And we're going to cover actually just real briefly one of the things we see here. This is the children of Israel getting ready for war, and it's just describing how they're set up. And it describes saying there in verse number 1, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying," and you know, we're starting off with that because we understand, hey, God is telling them and instructing them to do this. He's instructing them how to set up and what to do. The Bible says in verse 2, "Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard." And some people may not know what that word say. What does that even mean? Because when we think of standards, you think of like dress standards or some standards that you have to hold yourself to when you work or something like that. But when the Bible's talking about pitching by his own standard, that says with the ensign of their father's house, the standard is like a flag. The standard is a banner that's going to be lifted up in the area where each of the tribes are going to be, where their location is, right? So they've got their camp of all the children of Israel, and they're going to have the tabernacle in the midst with all the people surrounding. And when they get ready for battle, they get ready for war, they're going to be different people set up with these ensigns lifted up so that, one, everyone knows where to go, right? So there's no confusion. People can identify and say, oh yeah, this is my place right over here, because that's the symbol, that's the emblem, that's where I belong, is with this group. Now, you'll also notice that they are coordinated and they're separated and grouped based on their family, their father's house. So it says, by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house. This isn't as common anymore. This is something that has been through history for a very, very long time, where households would have some type of signet, a symbol that would represent who they are. It represents their family. It's an icon. It's iconic of you know, whatever they want to put forward that their house is about, or that's representative of them in some type of symbolism, right? And that is, you know, sort of who they are. It's something that a whole group of people can get behind and join themselves to a cause. And that's, you know, in a more broad sense, outside of an ensign for a household, that's how people use flags, right? That's how we use banners. That's why countries have flags. It's supposed to bring the people of the country together behind one idea, behind one symbol that's representative of who you are. You know, in the United States of America, we've got the American flag that's got the 50 stars, right? And each star represents one of the states of the union. And you've got the bars, right? You've got the red and white stripes. And kids, Elizabeth, what does that mean? The stripes? Come on, how many are there? 13, there you go. All right, someone knows a little something. You studied this. I saw on your work. You're like, what are you talking about, Dad? We'll talk about this later. The 13 stripes, right, to symbolize the colonies prior to the United States becoming a nation. And you know, there's different flags and different symbols that are representative of things. I don't normally do this, but I have my own flag that I purchased a while back that I like because I like what it represents. So people oftentimes will do this. They like to raise flags that they feel is representative of what they believe, right? Now look, this has nothing to do with Christianity, per se, right? But it's a mindset. I think everyone, I mean, this is a pretty easy symbol to understand what this means, which is one of the reasons why I like it a lot. I'll read a little blurb for you about this, but I'm trying to give you an image, right? When the Bible is saying that the children of Israel were going by their standard, they're going by their ensign, they're going to be looking for the flag of their father's house that's set up in their camp and know where they belong. And, you know, whether it's a flag like this or some other symbol, some other icon, it's kind of going to be what their family stands for, what represents them. And people choose that. You know, I chose this to have in my house because I like it. I like saying, hey, don't tread on me. Don't mess with me, right? I'm going to keep to myself. I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to, you know, just I'm going to do my thing over here. But don't come near me because I might bite, right? I mean, that's the snake. And I'll read the little blurb about this. This is just off Wikipedia. You know, it's not like it's necessarily super authoritative, but it does a good job of doing a real quick, because there's no point in going deeper than this. It's called the Gadsden flag. So it's based off of the person who created the flag in early historical American. It says here, the Gadsden flag is a historical American flag with a yellow field depicting a timber rattlesnake coiled and ready to strike. Beneath the rattlesnake are the words, "Don't tread on me." And so that's what I just showed you right there. The flag is named after politician Christopher Gadsden, who lived from 1724 to 1805. So he's revolutionary era, right? So when he lived. It says who designed it in 1775. So if you know your history, 1776 is when the Revolutionary War kicked off. So in 1775, he created this flag. It says he designed in 1775 during the American Revolution. It was used by the Continental Marines as an early motto flag. So this was the standard. This was the flag that was created for the early Marine Corps, the Continental Marines, the Continental Army. Way back, well, Continental Marines, right? It's not the Army. It's a separate branch. Continental Marines. Forgive me, you know, all the vets that I'm slipping and saying the wrong thing. You know what I mean, though. Continental Marines as an early motto flag along with the Moultrie flag. Its design proclaims an assertive warning of vigilance and willingness to act in defense against coercion. Right? It's I'm vigilant, I'm watching you, I don't want to go cause any trouble, but at the same time, just stay away from me, right? Back off. And that's what snakes do. Snakes will defend their territory, they just want to stay there. Leave me alone. They rattle. They warn you. They'll let you know, hey, don't come close to me. That's that warning sign with the rattle. But if you do, if you overstep your bounds and get into their territory, they're going to strike. Very simple design. Very simple design. It says this has led to be associated with the ideas of individualism and liberty. And it's often used in the United States as a symbol for right libertarianism, and then it goes into this other classical liberalism, small government, distrust, and defiance against authorities. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, that's what I say. Anyways, that's my little prop. We got one more a little bit later. But I just wanted you to understand, so when you're reading about the standard, you read about the ensign, they would have these all around, representative. And why am I even going into detail about this? Well, we may not have these symbols for ourselves. You may not have a symbol to lift up on a flag, but you ought to stand for something. And when we're talking about your household especially, because this is how they gathered themselves. This is how the troops were rallied in the nation of Israel. They joined up with their tribes, with their family, and they all got behind their flag. And they would all be able to join together and come together under that common cause. Ultimately, all of them were united in service to the Lord, was supposed to be the ideal of what they were fighting for at the end of the day. But each one, underneath the big umbrella of fighting for the Lord, had their own households and their own families, that they had their own identity within that larger group. We've got an identity here at Stronghold Baptist Church as a church, and then even below that, your own individual families. What are your values? What's important to you? You ought to think about those things. You know, what is the ensign for your house? Again, it doesn't have to be some specific picture or image, but what do you stand for? What are you going to teach your children? What is it that you want to continue through your family with your family name? Are the values? What are the things that you hold dear that you want to rally your whole family around and behind? That's what I love in Joshua 24. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 60. Joshua 24:14, very famous passage. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made the decision. He's like, you know what I'm doing? You know what my family's doing? We're serving the Lord. He set that standard up. He set that banner up and saying, our house is dedicated to the service of the Lord. That's what we're doing. You do what you want to do. You could set up your own banner. You could do what you want to do in your house, but we're serving the Lord. That's what we do in my family. That's what we do in my household. God has a banner for you, for us. Psalm 60, verse number 1, the Bible says, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. So these are all things of the people who are coming back to God with a repentant heart, right? They've been punished. They've experienced the chastisement of the Lord, and they're trying to come back to God and entreat him. And then in verse 4, it says, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. Now, we all ought to fear God, right? But those that are going to serve God and fear him, it says, you've given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah. So he's saying, God has given you a banner. Hey, those that fear God, those that want to serve him, those that care about his commandments and care about what he said, he's given you a banner. And he hasn't given you a banner to just hide it in your house, to stuff it away, to let nobody know that God's given you a banner, that God's given you a cause, that God's given you something to fight for. Don't just tuck it away and hide it. Like my flag that I liked so much has been sitting in my garage on my workbench, just shoved away. I had to tell my wife where to find it. She didn't even know. Now, is it because I'm ashamed of it? No, but because I got this when I was way more politically motivated and cared a lot about the libertarian, right wing stuff, whatever. I don't care about that stuff so much anymore. It doesn't mean I don't think the same way, but you know what my standard is now. It's not exactly the same as this. It's not. I like some of the sentiments of that, but I don't want to scare people off to like approaching my house or something. I want to be able to talk to people and give them the gospel. And don't try to. I mean, yeah, the evildoers and wicked doers. Yeah, stay away. Stay back off. Right? The people want to cause harm. But everyone else, there's a different motivation. There's a different mindset that I have for my house, and I want to use that banner that God has for us, for those that fear him, that it may be displayed because of the truth. We need to lift a banner of truth, because there's lots of other banners that are flying out there in this world that represent all kinds of different things. Some relatively benign, but some extremely wicked. And in a day where people are trying to put forth their banners and their ideas and their philosophies and you know, what they want to do, hey, we need to be standing for the truth and putting forth the banner of righteousness, the banner of the Lord, the banner of the Word of God. We need to decide, what do we stand for? We need to choose the side and understand, hey, there is a battle going on. These standards are raised in a time of war so that everyone knows what the side is, right? Just like, I mean, hey, in physical conflict here, just like in these days in the Bible, when people go to fight, you think of Navy ships, what they do? They raise the flag. Whose team are you on? Who are you fighting for? Right? American ships are going to be sailing that American flag as they go off to war. This is who we are. This is who, you know, no one's hiding. Well, I mean, sometimes people do. Those are the false flags, right? They raise up the false flag of someone else to try to pit the blame or get some other political motivation. That's a sermon for another day. I'm not going to get into false flags, okay? We're talking about standing up for your flag, for who you are, being upfront, being honest. Look, we're not, as God's people, trying to pretend we're somebody else. And hopefully you're not, right? Too many Christians already do that. Too many Christians put on the front. Too many Christians show up to church and they're one person, and then they go home, and then they go out in the world, and then they do everything else, and they're a different person. Who are you? What do you stand for? Are you willing to wave that banner for the Lord all day long here in church and then hide it away for the rest of the week? Think about that. The war that's going on right now, it doesn't stop. It's not only engaging on Sundays. Sundays is like you're retreating to the stronghold. Right? You're getting ready for the real battle that's out there. This isn't the fight. This is the training grounds. This is the recuperation. This is the preparation to go out for the real fight. And look, before anyone is going to take this out of context, it's a spiritual fight. Yes, I've got a Gadsden flag. And you know, I've got the other one, come and take it. Okay, the Molon Labe. But I'm not talking about taking out guns and armaments and going and shooting or doing anything like that with physical weapons of warfare, because that's not what the Bible's teaching us to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Not the physical fight. It's not a flesh and blood warfare, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Guess what? The armor isn't also physical armor too, because he goes on to describe what the armor is. Right? The weapon, the sword, isn't a physical sword. It's the word of God. I mean, it's physical in the sense that, yeah, it's the word of God, but it's not a blade. We're not cutting flesh. We're not putting on like a literal metal helmet. We're not putting on a Kevlar jacket or whatever, you know. Hey, you want to wear a bulletproof vest, be my guest. But that's not the armor of God that the Bible's talking about. Okay? It's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, against powers. That's the, but we are in that spiritual battle. And this battle is raging. This battle is going on. The battle for the principalities and the powers. The battle of what is righteous and what we should be standing for and putting a difference between wickedness and righteousness and how we ought to be living and what should be tolerated and what should not be tolerated and the type of world that we're going to live in and raise our children in. That's at stake. Turning through to Matthew chapter 10, I'll read for you from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, again along the military mindset. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He's likening Timothy to a good soldier. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." He's a soldier in a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare going on. You need to identify who you are. What are you fighting for? Who do you fight for? Make sure that's clear. There should be no doubt about that. Matthew 10, verse 22, the Bible says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. They have called the master of the house Beelzebub. How much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness," look at this, "that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." God doesn't want you hiding anything about what he's teaching you about his word, about what's right. Hey, if you learn it, you might learn it in secret. It might be real quiet, no one else might be around. It might just be you before you go to bed reading your Bible. All of a sudden, God's showing you something. You learn some truth. Just because you learn that quietly, secretly, he's saying, don't keep that a secret. You need to spread that forth on the housetops. Shout. Make sure people hear it. Make sure they know. That great light of the Word of God, that lamp to light our feet, hey, people need that. Raise that standard up high. Lift that banner for the Lord up so that everybody can see it and everybody knows where you stand and you've got a cause. Here's the thing. When you start to raise those banners high, you know what you're going to do? You're going to encourage others to follow. Because when people can see very clearly, there's no doubt, it's not muddied up, you're not going, I don't really know what they stand for. When people stand up and no one really knows what you stand for, you're not going to get very many people to follow you and go along with you and join your cause. I think this is one of the reasons why New IP churches have been growing and growing and growing so much, because we're not hiding what we believe at all. We're trying our best to get the word out there, to preach the word of God, to preach the whole counsel of God, and make sure everybody knows it. Any opportunity you get to put that out there, to put the doctrines out there, to put the good word out there, we're going to try and do it. We're going to lift that banner up high. And we don't have some really confusing emblems, and people are looking at it going like, I have no idea what that means. It's real simple. Just like the flag that I threw up, that's real simple. You can see what that, you can see the snake, you can see what it says. Hey, I get it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it's simple. The word of God, the Holy Bible, hey, it's simple. It is. Man makes it really complicated. Churches, false prophets, lots of people make it really complicated. But it's not that complicated. when you just accept it for what it says. Say, oh yeah, that is what it says. Well, that's what we believe. Great. So this, you know what our standard is? We're going to hold it up high. We're going to lift it up. Hey, who wants to follow this? Not bits and pieces, not cherry picking. Who wants to follow this? Amen. This is what we stand for. This is what we believe. But what about here? Yes. What about over here? Yes. 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 All of it. This is what we believe. Go ahead, ask me about another place. Yes. Even Leviticus? Yes. Even Deuteronomy? Yes. Especially Deuteronomy. All of it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Revelation, Genesis, Nahum. I'll get the comment, Nahum's not a book of the Bible. We've already had that before. Yes, it is. Nahum. It kind of has something to do with our church. Turn, if you would, please, to Jeremiah chapter 50. Oh, I didn't read that last verse in Matthew 10. He says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We stand in the word of God, regardless of what other people might think. Because what happens when you raise that flag up high, when you raise up that banner, not everyone's going to agree with that. Some people are going to go, wait, you what? You believe what? They're not going to like that. Which is the whole reason why there's a lot of people not raising up that banner very high. Even though it is something they might be able to get behind, they don't want to be the ones lifting it up. Hey, there's a lot of people who aren't willing to lift it up. But you know what? That's why we're going to lift that banner up real high. And we're going to try to encourage those that maybe they weren't ready to lift that banner up real high. Hey, come on and join us. Here's our banner. Here it is. We're moving forward with this. And maybe you feel a little more comfortable coming around where there's more people and you could be around other people who think the same way and believe the same way. Yeah, we'll help you so you're not afraid anymore to say what you believe. Join our ranks. Jeremiah chapter 50, I've got to get there myself. There's a lot in Jeremiah 50 that I want to cover, so I don't even have it in my notes. But this is the last place I plan on turning to. Very relevant to everything I want to express this evening. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, the word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Now keep in mind, as we're reading this, we're reading about Babylon that existed back then. But there are many similarities, and I would say even prophecies of a future Babylon to come, okay? And whether or not the United States is the Babylon of Revelation remains to be seen fully. I believe it is, okay? Either way, the country we live in right now has many, many, many similarities of the Babylon of the Bible. Okay, so whether or not it technically 100% is doesn't matter, because we're falling into this category anyways when you look at the way that Babylon is, the way that it acts, the promotion of the wickedness and the evil. Look, this is where we are. So we're going to apply what we're reading here to modern day appropriately. Again, in Babylon, you're going to see physical fighting. I've already read the verse that says we're in a spiritual war. We're not physical Babylon, it's spiritual Babylon. Okay? Just making that clear. Verse 2. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a saying. Now, before I even continue, I just want to say this too. You know, a lot of times when I say this stuff, maybe I shouldn't even do it so much. It's for people watching videos online. I know I don't have to say this to you who are sitting here, because you already know that. It's the nut jobs online that want to try to spin everything that you say. Oh, I'm afraid for my safety because I think they're going to come after me and all this other stuff. You know, like, no. I mean, that's what they were doing to Steadfast. But Steadfast Baptist Church is like our church. We're not making these plans and plotting to go and, like, he'll be like, well, I'm just waiting for someone to put into action from their church to come out and kill. Like, look, no one's going to do that. That's not what we teach and believe. And we say this till we're blue in the face, but you know what? It doesn't matter, because people want to tear you down because they don't like what you're saying at all. And hey, for the homos, for good reason. The sodomites, there is a good reason. You shouldn't, you know, you're not going to like what the Bible says, because it's not a very good judgment for you. Let's keep reading. Verse number 2. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Set up a standard. That's what we're talking about. That banner, lifting up that standard. Publish and conceal not. Don't hide it. Lift that standard up high. Don't hide what you're all about. Say, Babylon is taken. Bela's confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. Amen. The Lord's gone through and destroyed all the wicked places and cities and idols and false gods, and here we are with the standard of the Lord. Great, great story, right? Verse number 3, for out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell there, and they shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. And you know, there's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to come back again too, with his army. Come riding on a white horse. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And he's going to stamp out the wickedness and destroy Babylon. It's coming. Verse 4. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah, together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. And again, this is the way I see the spiritual awakeness of the United States of America, where you've got a bunch of false prophets and a bunch of people that are causing the sheep to lose their way. Because there's not enough people leading the way and lifting up that banner. Verse 7, all that found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, we offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. So this is the wicked doers who are oppressing the people of the Lord, saying, hey, we're not doing anything wrong, because they're the ones that sin against God, right? They're the ones that have, it says they're adversaries, right? The adversaries of the children of God said, we offend not because they have sinned against the Lord. You're giving, you know, when the Christian lives the wicked life in disobedience to God, you're giving more of a reason for the wicked doer to be justified in their actions. But hey, you're just reaping what you're sowing, and I happen to be that arm of the Lord that's coming against you. Right, just where the Lord uses the wicked nations to judge his people. What are we saying? Because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flock. And just as we read in Psalm, this is the same way, because the children of Israel here, God's people, have sinned against the Lord. That's why they got into problems. But then ultimately God comes and rescues and saves and passes judgment on wicked Babylon. Same thing at the end times. You know, there's going to be the great falling away, and there's going to be tons of apostasy, people getting out of church, you know, even God's people. There's going to be a small remnant. There's going to be people who are definitely zealous and doing the works of the Lord. But by and large, there's going to be a lot of people who are just completely out of service from God, but ultimately God will come back and save his people and bring judgment. Verse number 9, for lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. This is talking about the destruction of Babylon now. And Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoiler shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage, because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass, and bellow as bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nation shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues. And I'm not going to get into it, but when you look at Babylon in Revelation, the same thing happens. It's the total destruction, not inhabited, and it's the same picture that happens there as well. Verse 14, put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow, shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord. This is God's instruction to his people about wicked, vile Babylon, saying, hey, bend the bow, shoot her, don't spare any arrows. Her time has come. The war is against Babylon. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down. For it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her as she hath done. Do unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest for fear of the oppressing sword. For they shall turn everyone to his people, and they shall flee everyone to his own land. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him. And last, this Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria, and I will bring Israel again to his habitation. He shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. So this is great news for the people of God. They receive the pardon from the Lord. Verse 21, go up against the land of Mirathaim, even against it and against the inhabitants of Pekod, waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle is in the land and of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses, cast her up as heaps, and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. I'm sorry, I know this is a lot of scripture, but I want to get through this because this is important. There's so much doom and gloom and destruction, but it's against Babylon. It's against the wicked people who have already oppressed the people of God. Verse 28, the voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow. Camp against it round about, let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee, and the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. The fire of the Lord against Babylon, devouring all round about them. What was a big thing about the people of Babylon, about the wicked people of Babylon? Their pride. And notice it says, the most proud. If you could just take a second and think, who would be considered the most proud people in our society today, in our Babylon today? It's probably the same people that are waving a banner that looks like this. This is the flag. This is what they stand for. This is what they get behind. Now, I could never understand why they choose this. I like the rainbow. I hate that people who hate God have stolen such nice colors, such beauty, right? My kids love rainbows, and I think that's great. I like rainbows, but you know what? This has come to represent something wicked and vile and antichrist, and it's a banner that the evildoers have done, and it's starting to be shown more and more. When I went on my trip to West Virginia, just recently, about a month ago, maybe six, my sense of time is gone. Not that long ago, right? Weeks ago. I'm driving through the backwoods of West Virginia in a camp. And if you want to talk about, America, you want to talk about hillbilly, redneck, America. We're talking Confederate flag waving America, South. It's like the South of the South in West Virginia. There are plenty of towns like that along the way. And now, look, I might as well just bring this up too. Okay, I'm talking about the Confederate flag. It's not being raised for racism. It's being raised for the same reason you'd raise this flag. That's why people cling to these symbols. Okay, does that mean there's no racists in the world? No, of course not. I'm sure there's some hillbilly racist somewhere that hates black people or whatever. Okay, but the people that I know who've ever liked that flag, I like that flag. I think everyone here should be able to testify that I don't have a racist bone in my body. Okay, I've never treated anybody different because that doesn't matter. What I like about that flag is we're going to secede from the Union because we're not going to be told what to do, and we're not going to be, let these other states tell us what to do and think, whatever. Look, again, I don't want to get all into that, but that's another flag. That's another meaning. It's another thing that people can get behind. My point is, this is an area, you go to West Virginia, and you got people who are rebels at heart, right? Now, look, being rebellious against God, not a good thing. But being rebellious against a wicked, tyrannical government, nothing wrong with that. Okay? That's in the blood of the people. So, to my shock, I'm driving through this town, and I'm seeing, this on businesses in local downtown areas. I'm going, okay, now I'm getting concerned that, we are totally turning into Sodom and Gomorrah, that we have gone way too far down that path. And Pastor Robinson informed me a little bit. He's like, you know what? There's a couple towns here that they're small areas, but it's kind of where the hippies grew up and or went to and sort of took over this area. He's like, oh, I know what you're talking about. It's like going to Sedona in Arizona. There's some mountain towns out there too. We got a bunch of weird people that kind of all go to the same place. But still, you're still in the state, and people are flying these flags, and they're staying up. staying up. I was just following up on this news story. I think it's been a couple years now. There was some guy who, and this is not some shining example of a Christian, by the way, but I don't remember the guy's name, in Iowa, took one of these flags from off of a so-called church, right? Not any church that has a candlestick in God's eyes, but takes the flag and burned it, right? So he stole it, went down the street or whatever, burned it. That's it. End of story, right? Destroyed some property, whatever. Sentence is 16 years in prison. 16 years. He got, what was it? It was like 30 days for like actually stealing it, just under a year for destruction of property, and then 15 years for the hate crime. Insane. He burned a flag. Now, it's okay for everyone else to go burn the American flag, and there's no charges against that, right? And you know what I say? Yeah, it should be legal to burn a flag, right? Someone doesn't like what that flag represents, you ought to be able to burn it. We need more of this going on. I wish this was happening a lot more across the country, of the banner being destroyed and not tolerated, and the people who want to wave this flag going, Don't worry, we'll clean that up later. It's worth it. I don't care if I have to get a vacuum out or to scrub this and get and even if there's a little tinge and I've ruined the carpet a little bit. Okay? It's not a big deal. Because that needs to burn. What that stands for needs to go down. We need to raise our standard up high and not let the wicked loudmouths become the voice of our country. God forbid, because that is going to lead us to destruction. There are lots of people out there that I care about. There's a whole bunch of lost people out there that do not need to be defiled with their filth. You know what we need? And I think there's a lot of normal people still left that if they see someone raising the standard up high and going, you know what, we're not for this at all, that more people will get on board, because right now they're scared of what the woke mafia is going to do if someone says something against it. You know what? I'm not scared. That's why we read earlier, hey, Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, which they're not doing right now, by the way, anyways. They bark real loud, like the dogs they are. They bark loudly, but they're not doing anything. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And even if they were killing people, I'm still not afraid. I'm still not going to back down. Someone needs to be a standard bearer. Someone needs to stand for the cause, the righteous cause. There has to be an opposition to, well, I already burned it. Oh, man. That's going to be fun. To this. That's all that's left. It's melted to the floor. It's stuck. That was not a good idea. I should have had a trash can up here. It's worth it, though. I don't care. Honey, I'll be a little late coming home. We need to stand up against it, okay? Not tolerate it. That's why I specifically didn't buy one of those flags, because I didn't want the plastic, like, dripping into the floor. I thought paper would be safe, but Who do you identify as? What are you going to identify with? What flag do you get behind? I know there's a Baptist flag out there. I didn't really want to get too much into that. The blood. Baptist, the blood. Who knows? The Bible. That's right. There's B's. There's three B's, right? And they've got the, it looks like a bow tie. It's a tie that binds, and they're trying to bring unity. And look, I'm all for the idea of getting believers together behind a banner, right? And I'm not trying to say anything bad about the Baptist flag. I don't know a whole lot about it, right? But I do like the idea of getting people unified, as long as it's not like ecumenical, but going, hey, we, that's why like this is my banner. This is what I stand for. And this is what we stand for. This is what our church is all about. All of it. The whole thing. No, it's not just a New Testament. The whole thing. All of it. Cover to cover. This is our standard. This is our banner. And you know what? People ought to know if you have this banner for yourself, for your household. They ought to know. They ought to know because you're carrying it high. You're letting it be seen. You're not hiding it in a drawer in your house so that if people come over, they can't even see that you own a Bible. And you know what? It might get you comments. You know what that is? An opportunity. I had some coworkers come, and I have Bibles in my car all over the place, right? I'm sure I'm not alone in this, because you never know when, you know, you go soul winning or whatever, it's easier, too. I don't have to remember to bring a Bible with me, because there's multiple Bibles in the car. I could give them away, right? Unless I'm actually completely run out, I have to restock, I almost always have Bibles in the car. And you know what that does? I had coworkers, oh, no, watch out. He makes a joke because, what's this? Is this for your passengers? Is this because you don't drive very safe? You know, he's kind of making a joke. And like, okay, that's funny. But it's like, no, then it's an opportunity to say, I actually pastor a church. I said, God, I read that Bible. You know, that's, I believe in that. Opportunity. So some people might try to mock you or kid you or make fun of you. Don't be afraid of that. There's nothing embarrassing or that should cause you to be ashamed of anything in this book. Your Lord and Savior gave you this. You know the same one that saved your rear end from going to hell forever? Yeah, he gave this to you. Treat it as such. Value, high regard. Don't be ashamed of it. Be proud of it. Be willing to stand up and fight for it. Raise your standard high. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this great church, Lord, and for bringing all the people here that love you. I pray that you would please help us to serve you better. I pray that you please help us to not be afraid, not be ashamed, dear Lord, when any opposition arises, but that we can boldly stand for what we believe in, we stand for your word. Dear Lord, I pray that you please help us to raise our families and to set the standard in our household appropriately, dear Lord, that we could just continue to serve you and make you happy with us, and that we would be able to reach as many people as possible and to be able to put up resistance against the wicked doers of our world, dear Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song before we're dismissed. Song number, is it 405? 405. Banner of the Lord. Banner of the Cross, excuse me, song number 405. Song 405.
Thank you all so much for being here tonight.